Nestor Cortez says the Yankees were better than the Dodgers in the 2024 World Series. Yes, welcome on in to First Pitch for Friday, February 28th. Your source of news, notes, updates, and dumb quotes from Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby. You can follow me on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. He's Troy Brock, Troy B Baseball on Twitter. Send all your friends at firstpitchpodcast.com to get your daily news, notes, and updates on Major League Baseball. And we're going to start off with Nestor Cortez, right? Like, I want to get to our preview of the Dodgers. I want to get to some of these injuries that came up, Gunnar Henderson, Andrew Benintendi, or whatever. But Nestor Cortez is now a Brewer. He was part of the Devin Williams deal along with Caleb Durbin going over to Milwaukee. And he talked to the media this week and said kind of some pretty dumb stuff. We've got a couple quotes here that I want to kind of read you and kind of get your thoughts on these. I know you've already heard some of these, but still. Just some really interesting stuff. So you'll remember his World Series debut was Freddie Freeman's Grand Slam.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it didn't go well. And Cortez wants you to remember his second outing. Okay. Quote, nobody remembers my second outing, but I dominated my second outing. Dominated Ohtani, struck him out. Dominated Freeman, struck him out. And going back and reading more of these quotes, going into the series, I knew my lane was Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, three MVPs back to back to back. If you had to pick anybody to get those three guys out back to back to back in game one of the World Series, how many people would be ahead of the guy who had not pitched in 5 weeks because of a flexor strain?
Yeah, literally anybody else that is available to pitch would be ahead of Nestor Cortez. I mean, I'm pretty sure I was on the episode the day after that game, and I highly questioned that move as well as everyone else did, especially as you and I've talked about, the move is determined good or bad at the time of the decision, not with the outcome. And that was a bad move at the time of the decision by a lot, and it turned out to be a bad outcome as well. And anybody that would have been available to pitch should have gone ahead of Nestor Cortez in that situation.
They had a couple lefties available, right? Like, they had Cortez, they had Tim Hill. He's a sidearmer. He throws low in the zone. I understand where, like, Ohtani and Freeman are good in those situations, but again, Cortez hadn't pitched in 5 weeks. But that's not the craziest quote from this whole thing, okay? He did talk about that pitch and that at-bat and how that hole went and everything and how it bugged at him. But here's the bigger reason it bothered him. Quote, we had done enough to win that game. They can talk whatever they want to talk. But we win game one, which we should have. We lost 2 and 3. We win game four. And we should have won game five. Then we go back to LA up 3-2. Can you play the what if game if you lose in 5 games? Like, if you lost by 1, you know, 4-3 or something, I feel like you have a little grace on something like this. But you won 1 game out of 5. You really can't be doing this.
Yeah, no, not at all. And to his credit, he is right. He did have a good second outing, but he is the cause of them losing the first game of the World Series by giving up that grand slam to Freddie Freeman. And so it's not entirely on him, but the first game is on him and on the bad decision to put him in the game. But no, they lost in five games to the Los Angeles Dodgers, and there's no, oh, we would have won, we should have won, we were the better team. It's like, no, you weren't. You weren't the better team in the regular season. You weren't the better team in the postseason, and you sure as hell weren't the better team in the World Series.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny to listen to Cortes explain what he was trying to do in that inning, right? He got Ohtani to pop out on a inside fastball. He meant to get it higher, didn't get it high enough, but he got it inside, and Ohtani popped out. They intentionally walked Mookie Betts to get to Freeman, and that was his specific plan on Freeman as well, was I'm going to pitch him high and inside and get him to pop out. And it was inside, but it wasn't high, just like the Ohtani pitch. And Freddie launched it for the walk-off. So absolutely wild. Wild quotes. I love the the could have, would have, should have game. The Dodgers and Brewers will play this year. Every team plays every other team. So I'm curious to see if this comes back up in conversations with the media and all that kind of stuff. Some other brief news before we get to those Dodgers, though. Injuries coming up more in spring. Gunnar Henderson left the game on Thursday, the start of the second inning, with lower right side discomfort. He left to make a defensive play, landed kind of awkwardly, kind of had to use his glove arm to stop himself from smashing into the ground. And he was pulled at the start of the second inning after he stayed in the game originally. Was not given an MRI, is not scheduled to get an MRI. He's going to get reevaluated some point in time today, probably right after this episode is done recording. Last year, he also was limited early in spring with left oblique soreness. Is this just, you think, another precautionary thing, or is this kind of like, don't worry about it now? If he gets it back into games within the next week, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, if it's just soreness, as they believe it to be, then it's not a big deal, because I mean, everybody experiences soreness. I mean, Bryce Harper got hit in the tricep with a pitch the other day, and I want to fight Richard Lovelady over it, but he's just bruised, so he's expected back in the lineup tomorrow. And so with Gunnar Henderson, as long as it's just soreness, there's nothing to worry about up there with Gunnar Henderson and the Baltimore Orioles. Now, if it is something far worse than that, like if it's something like Tristan Casas dealt with last year, where he tore cartilage in his ribs, which just sounds
painful,
very painful,
and there's nothing they can do. You can't brace that, you can't wrap that, you just have to like not do physical activity till it heals or play through pain.
And so if it is something serious like that, then they got some stuff to worry about up there in Baltimore, because they didn't really do much this offseason, as we talked about.
Compounding that, Jordan Westberg's out for a few more days with lower back soreness. He hasn't played since Saturday. They're calling that precautionary as well, but just something to kind of watch. Obviously, Henderson, I would argue, is more valuable. I don't know if there's anybody on that team, except for maybe Adley Rutschman, that's more important than Gunnar Henderson. And even that, Gunnar Henderson's probably, I mean, fourth place in MVP voting last year, played 159 games, hit 281 with 37 homers. Like, he is probably the most important Oriole for 2025. So we'll see what happens there. A couple other just really kind of small or quick injuries to note. We got confirmation Nico Hoerner of the Cubs recovering from that forearm surgery he had. He's not going to travel to Japan, so they will have a different starter at second base and possibly at third base, right? We kind of talked about Matt Shaw having to come up and do some stuff. And then Andrew Benintendi of the Chicago White Sox is going to be out, I believe it was 6 weeks. I think I accidentally closed that tab, but I believe it was 6 weeks with some sort of finger injury, maybe, which is just, non-displaced fracture of his right hand after being hit by a pitch yesterday.
Yeah.
Kind of wild. Oh, the Yankees, Giancarlo Stanton, still cannot resume baseball activities. They've called it like it's akin to tennis elbow, and they have sent him to New York for consultation and testing. So this is a really interesting and potentially bad development because obviously they're still paying that salary. But if they don't have him as the DH, that's a little bit thinner that that position player group gets. And then reliever Scott Efros, grade 2 hamstring strain, is going to miss a while. And he was already kind of on the outside looking in to make the roster, but this definitely just hurts their bullpen depth even more.
Yeah, it's just a slew of minor to major injuries going on in Major League Baseball right now to some guys, big names, and then other guys like Andrew Benintendi and Nico Horner aren't the biggest of names, but they are important to their teams. And as far as Andrew Benintendi goes, he's as important as a player can be to the Chicago White Sox. But yeah, Giancarlo Stanton being out, that's going to be big for the Yankees, because they really don't have any protection to bat behind Aaron Judge. So yeah, their lineup is now Aaron Judge and the boys. And so it's that's going to prove to be probably the most detrimental out of all of those. And I mean, it's what you get with Giancarlo Stanton. He played a lot of games last year, but that's not the norm for him. The norm is missing a lot of games. And so that seems to be back to the case in 2025.
A guy that is back, though, and played for the first time since having offseason surgery, Freddie Freeman.
Yep.
He was working on that injured ankle, fighting through it to participate in the postseason. Obviously had that great game one. Did not play every game in the postseason. He absolutely, he missed a handful of postseason games, but he was able to perform when it mattered, had surgery. He returned to spring action, started at designated hitter, had a single to right field in his first at-bat, and lightly jogged to first base, 23.2 feet per second. So pretty not fast. He did tape up the ankle and things like that, and said afterwards, he's going to have to keep doing treatment and stuff like that, taping it up all the way through, probably till the All-Star break, because baseball players are on their feet all the time. And even at first base, it's still a lot of moving around and back and forth. Is this something where, do they really need to play Freddie Freeman that much in spring training? Or could you just get 30 at-bats for him leading up to the season opener and then let him go out there and go? Do you need to be playing him in games in the beginning of the end of February?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Freddie Freeman's been doing this long enough. As long as you get him some at-bats and get his bat up to game speed, defensively you have nothing to worry about with Freddie Freeman, even at 36 years old as a first baseman. And he's one of those guys that is just going to go out there and ball whenever the lights come on. And it's just get him a few at-bats, get his bat up to game speed, and you'll be all right.
Yeah, and on that note, let's go ahead and talk about this team, because I do feel like you have options if you had to let Freddie Freeman miss some time, right? Max Muncy was the first baseman before him. You could do things. Muncy can move from third to first, and then your third baseman could be Kike Hernandez, could be Miguel Rojas, Chris Taylor, something like that. But this is, I think, quietly one of the oldest lineups in baseball. And nobody's really, Freeman's the old guy. He's 30, he's almost 36. Muncy's almost 35. But, when are we running the risk of seeing some age-related decline in some of these guys? Because the position player group as of right now, going off of, again, off of Fangraphs, like we always do, the only three players under the age of 30 in the position player group are Will Smith, who turns 30 soon, Tommy Edman, who turns 30 soon, and Hyesung Kim, who is 26. Everybody else is in their 30s. Otani's 30, Betts is 32, Freeman's 35, Muncy's 34, Michael Conforto's 32, Teoscar's 32, and their bench is even older. Austin Barnes is 35, Chris Taylor's 34, Miguel Rojas is 36. This is the age where baseball players we've seen in the past have started to have those nagging and lingering injuries that reduce their effectiveness. Are we is that a risk for this Dodgers team that nobody's really kind of acknowledging or discussing in 2025?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, I've talked ad nauseum about the injury risk to the rotation, and I know we're going to talk about it some more in a little bit, but the lineup has it too, especially with, like, Mookie Betts is 32 years old. You're moving him from a position in the outfield to shortstop where he's going to have to be diving for balls and jumping to catch balls and running short distances and sprinting and stopping and sprinting. And Freddie Freeman, you're already beginning to see kind of the nagging injuries and different injuries with him. And Shohei Ohtani, he's going to be going back to pitching and hitting this year. And we've already seen that when he does both, he's not as good whenever he focuses on one. He's never focused.
He's still very good.
He's still very good.
Make sure everybody understands. We're not, there's no shit on Ohtani. He's still one of the best 10 hitters in baseball.
Yes.
But he's not the unanimous clear cut number one by a mile when he's doing both that we've seen in the past.
Right.
He could be this year. Who knows? He's a machine. He's a robot.
Yes, but you pair that decline with him focusing on two different things instead of just hitting. Plus, he's gonna be 31 at some point in this season, and you know, and the age decline may start to show itself. And then, of course, you've got other guys. Max Muncy has already begun his decline from the height of his career.
He had a UCL injury. His arm strength is not good at third base at all.
Yeah, exactly. And
like
so,
he really needs to be at first, but he can't because you have Freeman.
Right. And so it's definitely something that needs to be paid attention to as the season progresses, especially in the dog days of summer.
Now, that being said, it's also like the best lineup in baseball. I mean, like, we could sit here and be like, yeah, we're worried they might decline. But if they decline, they probably decline to still the best lineup in baseball.
Right.
I mean, you've got Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman, your 1-3. These guys, math-wise, I believe they share 4 or 5 MVP titles between them. And then behind them, you've got, oh, look, your cleanup hitter is Teoscar Hernandez. Great. Yeah. He hit 33 home runs last year. You know, Muncy only played half the year. He got 293 plate appearances. He was one of those guys that kind of struggled a little bit. But Will Smith was a 20 homer bat behind the plate. Michael Conforto hit 20 home runs in like less than 500 plate appearances last year. Tommy Edman came back and looked really good, especially in the postseason. He's kind of your defensive specialist in center field and shortstop, can do both. Find you a man that can do both. Haesung Kim's the only real question here. And if that doesn't work out, guess what? You've got Kike Hernandez, who can slot into anywhere you need. You've got Miguel Rojas, who can slot into second base. And you've got the desiccated corpse of Chris Taylor, who you could try to find a use for. I mean, I haven't even gotten to the minor league depth, I feel like, but it's... I genuinely think that this team is fine everywhere except maybe the infield if you have any one given long-term injury, right? Like, so many dudes can play. Like, Edmund can move from center field to shortstop. And, like, if Mookie needs to miss time. And then, guess what? On your 40-man roster, you've got Andy Pages, you've got James Outman. They're both on the 40. And then... you're in our eyes. You've got Eddie Rosario, who hit a home run at his first Dodgers at-bat in spring. I mean, it's just, I feel like there's not a ton of high minors depth waiting to come up, but you don't need that because you have so many flexible options at the major league roster. I do think your point is right, though, that I worry more about this roster over a 162 than I worry about this roster in October.
Yeah, 100%. And it was 5 MVPs between their top 3 batters.
Thank you.
Shohei has 3 of them.
3, yeah. And then Betts and Freeman each have 1, yeah.
But yeah, no. I completely agree. And yeah, just to catch the people that have already commented and said that I'm stupid because of the expecting the decline for the Dodgers, I agree with you. Even though if they do decline, it's still going to be one of the best lineups in baseball because, yeah, it's insane what these guys have been able to do. And I also forgot Mookie Betts dealt with an injury last year. That's why Shohei Ohtani moved to the leadoff spot, was because Mookie Betts was injured. But But yeah, even if these guys do decline, they're still going to handily win the National League West and be one of the favorites for the World Series. It's just, it's insane what these guys are capable of, especially those first three names in the lineup.
Yeah, I just, this is absolutely absurd. And it's one of the better lineups I feel like we've seen in a while. We'll see what actually happens when the games start, but they're definitely the favorite for everything. The rotation is a lot of names, a lot of very, very good players, but not necessarily workload, right? Like, there's one pitcher that I'm looking at on this list right here that's in the projected opening day rotation that broke 105 innings, and that's Tyler Glasnow. So it's a very, very good rotation. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Blake Snell, Tyler Glasnow, Roki Sasaki, probably, and then either Tony Gonsolin or Dustin May as your fifth starter. May does not have options. Gonsolin has one option remaining. So if May is rotation caliber, ready to go as your number five, you could send Gonsolin to AAA if you wanted. If May is not rotation ready, he's in your pen as your long man, and Gonsolin's your starter. But there's a whole another rotation on the IL. Clayton Kershaw, toe and knee surgery. Kyle Hurt, River Ryan, Emmett Sheehan, Gavin Stone. None of those other four behind Kershaw are going to come back this year, right? They're all out probably for most of, if not the entire year. Emmett Sheehan may be late. His Tommy John was May of 24. But most of these guys are probably out for the entire season. But guess what? In AAA, you have another rotation on the 40-man. Bobby Miller, Nick Frosso, Justin Robleski, Ben Kasperius. Like, you have another rotation. And it's an embarrassment of riches. A lot of these guys are real, especially at the major league level, are really, really good. But it also kind of feels like you're going to need every single one of these pitchers because you have workload concerns with literally everyone in this rotation and much stronger workload concerns than I think many other teams have in their entire rotation. There's not one guy on this entire list that I trust to qualify for the ERA title at the end of the year.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you, and I've made my stance on this very clear. I mean, last year Tyler Glasnow set a new career high in innings pitched as a starting pitcher for the entirety of his career with 134 innings. Blake Snell pitched 104 innings. He dealt with injuries. He's only qualified for the ERA title twice in his career.
Now, in his defense, he won the Cy Young in both of those seasons.
Yes, he did, but he's still only done it twice, and he has over 8 years of service time. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, last year was his first year in Major League Baseball. He pitched 90 innings, dealt with injuries. So he's not, even though Fangraphs projects him to be the one starting pitcher that qualifies for the ERA title in this rotation, he pitched 90 innings last year. He's not going to pitch 162 or more innings in the regular season this year, plus he adds.
Postseason, yeah.
Plus postseason.
The big thing is, and we've already talked about this on the show too, they're not going to a six-man rotation right away. They're going to start off with a five, which feels like it should be backwards. You should go with a six early and then move to a five later. Here's the thing about this rotation, though, is if these guys qualify for the ERA title, there's like multiple dudes who could win a Cy Young. Tyler Glasnow could win a Cy Young. Blake Snell could win a Cy Young. Yamamoto could probably win a Cy Young if he was good enough to qualify for the ERA title. Dustin May's stuff looks filthy as hell. Like, he could possibly, if he could qualify, but I just don't trust any of them to do it. And so you're going to have to, like, Kershaw's going to come back and he's going to have to make legitimate major league starts because they're going to need the depth. They're going to have to figure out what happened to Bobby Miller last year, you know, why he put up an ERA of 8.5. They're going to have to use Justin Robleski. They're going to have to use Ben Kasperius. Nick Frosso is going to debut, and they're going to have to use him. And then they'll probably end up giving a start to somebody that they acquire midseason via either at the trade deadline or just off of waivers. right? They brought in Jack Flaherty last year, and he made starts for them and ended up being one of the only starters standing when they got to October, right? Walker Buehler walked out the door. But at the same time, like, the ceiling is so incredibly high on this rotation, but I would argue that the floor on the just the rotation, not the team, just the rotation is a lot lower than you would expect the World Series favorite to have, simply because literally everyone has workload concerns.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that. It's I mean, it's going to be like last year again, where they used over a dozen pitchers to start games throughout the season, and not just openers, like actual starters starting
legit
games.
Legit starters, yeah.
And they're going to have to do that again this year because of those workload concerns. And I will say for Tyler Glasnow, I did do a little stat nerd type thing a year or two ago, and I'd probably need to update it. But at the time, if you extrapolate Tyler Glasnow's performance out over a full career's workload, he is the best pitcher in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and, like, from a rate statistic, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. But it's just getting to that point. Like, they used 17 starting pitchers last year, and as I'm going through this list, I think maybe three of these guys were openers. Eliezer Hernandez, Brent Honeywell, Anthony Banda. Everybody else, nope, Ryan Brazier, sorry, that one as well. But all the rest of these guys were starting. Wroblewski started 6 games. Kershaw started 7. Flaherty, 10. Landon Knack, 12. Bobby Miller, 13. James Paxton. Forgot about James Paxton. Yeah. He had 18 starts for this team last year. And it's just one of those, you got to replace them somehow, and they're going to use every single one of these guys. But if they can get 3 starters to October, especially because they're going to add Shohei partway through the year, you feel like they have a good chance of winning the World Series because they have 3 starters. And then they have this freaking bullpen. Assuming that Roky Sasaki is in the rotation and that either Tony Gonsolin or Dustin May is the long man, the rest of your rotation, the rest of your bullpen are all guys who had saves last year. Every one of these projected relievers picked up a save last year. Landon Knack, Blake Treinen each had 1. Anthony Banda had 2. Alex Vezia had 5 and looked like the best reliever in baseball for a while. Michael Kopech had 15. Tanner Scott, who they signed to be the closer, had 22. Setup man Kirby Yates had 33 with the Rangers. Like, they made that bullpen from a weakness to a strength in a hurry. And this is without Evan Phillips, who is having a rotator cuff issue. This is without Brusdar Graterol, who had shoulder surgery in November. And this is without, right now, swingman Michael Grove, who is sidelined with shoulder discomfort. Like, it's, again, the ceiling on this is so incredibly high. And I feel like in the case of the Dodgers, for the bullpen, it's not as low. The floor is not as low as the rotation's floor is, simply because so many of these dudes pitched a lot of innings last year and have showed that they have the workload capacity. It's just, in fantasy, do you want any of these guys as your primary closer? No, because you don't know who's going to be the closer for any given day. But from a real-life perspective, this is probably the best bullpen in baseball.
Oh, yeah, it's hard to argue that. And they're going to need them to step up and be exactly that this year because of the starting pitching's workload issues and concerns. And it's crazy that their fourth reliever at the back end of their bullpen had 15 saves last year. But you look at this, and 4 guys last year also pitched 60 or more innings, and you're going to have to get that, if not more. You're probably going to have 4 guys pitch 70 or more innings, and it seems as if that's the reason why the Dodgers went out and loaded up on the bullpen arms, is to kind of counteract the drastically low floor that the starting rotation has because of the workload concerns. And it's on paper, it's going to work out tremendously for the Dodgers. Again, Alex Bessia is the fifth guy in the bullpen. Like it's an insane unit. And if they have a lead going late into games, it's going to be hard for teams to come back against that bullpen.
Yeah. Like your only hope is that window between when the starter leaves. Like if you can knock the starter out early, then can you run up the score on a long reliever? But your long reliever could be Dustin May. like Dustin May might be your long reliever. Michael Grove might be your long man. Tony Gonsolin could be your long man. It's absurd. It really is. The one thing I do want to point out with this entire projected 26-man unit is there are a grand total of 5 guys that have minor league options. There is one position player in Hyesung Kim that has options. There are 2 starters. Again, Gonsolin's in his final option year. Sasaki has all 3 options still. And then in the bullpen, Alex Vezia and Landon Knack have options. That is it. And so it feels like you're going to have those situations where the Dodgers are going to have to ask a guy to just wear one, because it's not going to be easy for them to swap out and get an extra starter up, get an extra reliever and things like that, simply because just there's a lack of flexibility here. So the concerns, I guess, you have is you have workload concerns, you have age concerns, and then you have roster flexibility concerns. But this is the best roster in baseball. If you had to pick right now, Dodgers or the field for winning the World Series, who are you taking?
I'm taking the Dodgers, just because if everything goes right, if the decline isn't drastic, if the starting rotation can be, you know, manageable, then I'm taking the Dodgers, because as you said, this is top to bottom 1 through 26. This is the best roster in Major League Baseball right now. And I think they're going to win. I know I joked yesterday and said they're going to go 140 and 22, but I do think that they're going to come pretty close to 110 wins pretty easily.
Yeah. I kind of agree here as well. It's going to be just absurd. So this has been First Pitch for Friday, February 28th. You're listening on audio. Do us a favor. Leave us a 5-star review. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you know when we drop that next episode. And until next time, this has been First Pitch.